Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Audio bandwidth for Net at Night is provided by Winamp. Subscribe to Net at Night and all your favorite podcasts with the ultimate media player. Download it for free at winamp.com. Video bandwidth for Net at Night is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is Net at Night with Amber MacArthur and Leo Laporte, episode 169, recorded September 21st, 2010, Blog World. Net at Night is brought to you by Squarespace.com, the fast and easy way to publish a high-quality website or blog. For a free trial and 10% off your new account, go to squarespace.com/night. It's time for Net at Night from Petaluma, California, U.S. of A. I'm Leo Laporte.
And I'm Amber MacArthur from Toronto, Ontario, Canada.
Buenos dias, Amber, from north of the border. Oh, no, wait a minute. That's the wrong. That's south
wrong
of the border.
Wait, you have to speak French, Leo. Come on.
Bonjour. Comment ça va?
Ça va bien. Merci.
Oh. You speak it with a Quebecois accent.
I suppose I do. I was actually in French immersion. My French is a little rusty, but I would have learned from someone who had a Quebec accent, so that might make some sense.
My daughter, who lived in France for a year and is a very good French speaker, says the Quebec accent's kind of just an old-fashioned accent.
That's what
French people think.
What I will say also with the Quebec accent is sometimes there's a mix of English in there as well.
Right. Well, that's happening everywhere, unfortunately.
Yeah, and it can be hard to understand. To be honest with you, even when I was learning French in school, I found it much easier to understand people who were from France than people from Quebec, which was just, you know, a few minutes away from the border of Ontario. So I was in Ottawa at the time, and it's kind of funny because the Quebec accent is unique.
Yeah.
I will say that.
Oh, I love Montreal, though.
Oh, love it. It's such a great city. It's one of the best, one of my favorite cities in Canada, for sure.
Abby was very seriously thinking of going to McGill. That was one of her choices. That's your alma mater, isn't it?
No, my brother went there.
Brother's alma mater. That's right. Yeah. So coming up in just a bit, Rick Calvert is going to join us. He is the organizer of what has now kind of the merge. He was Blog World, and then he bought out the media, what is it, PME, Podcast and Media...
Yeah, it's Blog World, New Media Expo.
New Media Expo is now all one.
And it's massive.
And it's going to be huge, and it's going to be in Vegas, and we're going to talk to Rick about Blog World coming up.
Yeah, and we're going to have a discount, I hear, too, for Net at Night listeners.
Oh, I like that. All right.
Sweet deal.
But before we do that, let's talk about what's going on in the world of the web.
Well, first of all, Leo, I have to say that I'm going to see The Social Network tonight. So next week I will have a full report.
Oh, I am so jealous. That's the Facebook movie.
Yes, it is.
You don't make 500 million friends without making a few enemies.
I love it. Do you have plans to see it yet?
Oh, I'm dying to see it. But I want to do something somehow with the we're not going to rent a movie theater and invite everybody who watches TWiT to show up in San Francisco. That would be kooky. But I'd like to do some sort of distributed premiere so that we could all kind of watch it together. I don't know.
Yeah, it would be fun to do something.
They won't let you chat in a movie theater, will they?
No, it's unfortunate. I'm going tonight, and all I want to be able to do is just like tweet throughout
the whole thing. Oh, my God. But no spoilers, because we don't want spoilers.
I wouldn't do that. Don't worry.
I'm so excited. It's getting rave reviews. You were hanging out with the producer, Dana Brunetti, last night, right?
Yes. I mean, thanks to Net at Night, I had a chance to interview Dana Brunetti with you a few years ago. And he works on Trigger Street Films with Kevin Spacey. And last week, Dana was in town for the film festival and was kind enough to come on my show, Web Nation. And then on Thursday night, I went to a premiere of a new Kevin Spacey movie with them, and it was just great. It was so nice to meet someone face to face, and he is a fellow geek. You know, we're sitting around during the after party, watching the premiere of Casino Jack, and you know, here we are talking about different apps and totally geeking out. I think we're the only ones in the club probably doing that. I can imagine.
Is Kevin a geek?
I'm not sure how much of a geek he is, but I have to say he's such a gentleman. He was really, really nice, and a little bit intimidating, obviously, because he's such a big star and so great at what he does. But it was awesome meeting him, and I can't say enough good things about him and actually the whole night. And Dana was just wonderful. So maybe even next week we'll think of something creative we could do, and maybe get Dana to come back on Net at Night. I know he's a big fan of all the stuff that you do.
We don't do reruns on Net at Night, because we're a podcast, and if you want to listen to an old show, you can. And so I would recommend, before you go see the movie, we had an interview with Ben Mezrich, who wrote the book this is based on, Accidental Billionaires. Dana joined us, and we talked about the movie. This was a year ago. This is when they were first getting together, and Aaron Sorkin was writing it. And it's pretty exciting that now the movie's out, and it looks to be one of the big movies of the fall.
Yeah, I mean, it's already getting some great reviews. I mean, people are saying it kind of sums up 2010 and kind of a must-watch film for this year. I cannot wait to see it. I mean, anyone I think who's in our industry is probably super excited as well to get a glimpse of what the whole movie is all about.
So October 1st, we'll talk about it. I don't know how we're gonna do it.
We'll figure something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you see the Foursquare? Oh, well, the biggest story, actually, I should say, is this morning's Twitter bug. Now, the good news is for us on the West Coast, it was already fixed by 6:30 in the morning, our time.
I know. You know, the funny thing is, Leo, I woke up this morning, and of course, the first thing I did, I actually checked Twitter online, I went and I saw this person's tweet, which was all kind of highlighted in black. It was very suspicious looking, and I didn't roll over it or click on it. It turns out that was a worm.
Saw it. Wow, how interesting.
I saw it in my feed, and I just didn't pay much attention to it. And then very quickly went on to Mashable and discovered that it was a worm that was going around and might send you to like a porn site or another third-party site. But as far as I understand, they fixed it relatively quickly.
So you know who got bit by it is the former Gordon Brown's ex-wife, Sarah Brown.
Yes.
Is Gordon Brown still the prime minister? I can't even remember.
No.
He's not. So she's still his wife. There's a former in there somewhere. I don't know if she's a former wife of the current prime minister or the former prime minister's current wife. But Sarah Brown got bit by it on her. She's got over 1 million users. If you search on the new Twitter for On Mouse Over, or maybe it's On Mouse Up. I think it's On Mouse Over. You will see quite a few posts, but they will no longer do what they used to do. Twitter was not filtering JavaScript. So mm-hmm. you could embed JavaScript into a tweet that would do something. In fact, here I'll show you. This is an example of the something. This is how you'd embed it. And you could insert any arbitrary code, HTML code in there or JavaScript code in there, which means you could push people to a porn site, or you could just pop up something that said, has a nice day or whatever. But they've this is not the first time we've seen an XSS exploit on Twitter. Twitter is kind of not the most secure platform in the world, and they turned it off. It no longer, so I can hover over this and nothing happens anymore.
Nothing happens, yeah.
And it would only happen if you were using the web page, the Twitter mm-hmm. web page.
Yeah, and just to be clear, we may as well fix this. It's Sarah Brown, who is the wife of former Prime Minister Gordon Brown.
I knew there was a former in there somewhere. Okay.
Yeah.
He's no longer.
The emails start coming in.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes. Yeah, so, pretty big deal. I did a couple of interviews today in Toronto about this. I don't know anyone personally who it affected, but...
Sarah Brown was sending people to a Japanese porn site, which I thought
I heard that. Yeah. I know.
But then she immediately tweeted, I don't know what's going on, but don't hover over that last one.
It's so funny. At CTV, the network who I work for, they actually blocked Twitter for most of the day today within the company. I mean, that's a massive organization. So I got a ton of emails from them. And so a pretty big deal, but it seems to be fixed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good news. So this next news item, Leo, speaking of Facebook, this is just a tiny little news item that came out recently. They made this little tweak to Facebook. You know when you are getting invites from people and you have the option to ignore the invite. Well, they've changed that. At least they've changed the language of that to not ignore, but not now. So you can essentially do the same thing, but without seeming as rude.
Not feeling quite so bad.
Yes.
Oh, just not now.
Not now, which I thought was kind of funny, you know.
Michael Dell wants to be my friend. Michael, not now. Maybe another time. No, it's not that I don't know him. I just, you know, this guy wants to be my friend. I don't want to be your friend either. Bill McEwen. Oh, actually, I did want to be Bill's friend.
Oh, no.
Never mind. But see, I could do it later.
Yeah, not now. But you'll never remember to do it. I mean, it essentially is doing the same thing. But I just thought it was kind of funny.
So much better. Well, was so painful.
It is. It's harsh, isn't it, Leo, to ignore someone? I mean, no one wants to be ignored. But if you say not now, like, hey, I just don't know where I'm going with my Facebook profile. Right. I maybe need some time to sort out what I want to do with it. Then I think it's a nicer option.
I don't know what I'm doing with my life right now. And but when I do figure that out, I'll let you know. But not now.
Not right now.
Not now. No, some other time.
That was kind of cute. it's fun. Also, I don't know if you saw this. This is a Google Chrome style bot, and I just stumbled across this, but I thought you would be interested in it. It's based on, you can actually use this within Google Chrome, which is an awesome browser, which I love. And it allows you to access and modify the CES for any web page from within the Chrome browser. So you can manipulate the look and design of the page while you are on the page, essentially surfing the page. They have a great video on the Mashable where I sent you the link to the article to get a sense of how you would do something like this. And then you can then save the page. I think it's kind of interesting for anyone who's into web design to start playing around with that a little bit. Maybe not the average person, but anyone who has an interest in kind of seeing what pages look like and manipulating them.
So, I mean, you can do this with most browsers. You could have like different, it seems like you could do that with most browsers. You could have a different style template, I guess.
Yeah, I think it's a
different style template.
Yeah, but then to go into the, as far as I know, like the sidebar, and I've read a little bit about this, and to get into the CES right there on it, like
CSS.
Within
the browser.
CSS. Too many acronyms. from within the browser, then it's just kind of a fun thing where you can change the page elements, colors, and remove advertising and do lots of fun things like that.
I used to use a program called, I still do from time to time, I think it was CSS Rabbit on the Mac that would let you do that. You'd load a page's code in. And then you just could play with it
and
mess
cool.
it up. Yeah, but you're right. A great learning experience.
I think it's a good learning tool.
Yeah.
Leo, actually, just on the topic of websites, what's happening with your site? Is Squarespace doing it or what's
Leoville right now is going to stay on my site on WordPress because I need to know WordPress as along with everything else. Plus, with WordPress, I do the back end and the front end. You know, I'm hosting it myself, so I need to know about hosting. So what they finally did, Ken and Bear and Chris, is they said, you know, you've screwed up our servers enough. We're going to give you your own machine that you can screw up all you want, and then it won't affect because you know. In the early days of Twit and the radio show, I managed the servers. You know, I was the sysadmin. I did all of that. But I've been screwing things up pretty bad. So they gave me my own. I have my own personal server at SoftLayer. And now I can do anything I want. But I need to do that to keep my chops up. We are using Squarespace for inside.twit.tv. And I'm going to move the radio show onto Squarespace. I'm excited about that.
Okay.
Yeah. You like Squarespace, right? This is a good time to do an ad. And then I want to tell you about the new Foursquare button, which is an example of why I do my own hosting, because something like this, I'm very interested in adding. Most people, though, don't have kind of my need to screw up their own server. And most people would prefer their server stays running all the time. They don't want to have to constantly check for code updates, security violations. I can't tell you how many times my server's been hacked. That's why, for most people, Squarespace is the right choice. Squarespace is the secret behind exceptional websites. It's software and hosting. Whether it's a blog, a photo site, even e-commerce, they've got forms. Anything you want to do on the web, Squarespace is the easiest way to do it. You start with one of their beautiful templates, completely customizable. You don't need to know CSS or JavaScript, but if you do, you can even do more. Starting now at $12 a month, I want you to, the pricing, there's new pricing in there, but I'm going to tell you, if you take a look at this, if you use the promo code NIGHT, you will save 10%. Notice, by the way, you get quite a discount monthly, yearly, or even for 2 years, you get 20% off, so add the 10% to that, so you could really save money in the long term. But you don't have to sign up for anything right now. Just go to squarespace.com/night. You could use it free for 2 weeks. Import your existing movable type, WordPress, TypePad, or Blogger, or anything that's compatible with those. Export too, so you're never trapped. Take a look at their iPhone app. just incredible stats, the photo galleries. This is the easiest way to start a website. You don't have to be a designer to have a website that looks like you had a pro working on it. Just take a look at some of these examples. It's amazing.
I know. There's really great examples.
Oh, it's really fantastic.
I'm kind of getting the website itch, too, I have to say, you know, when you want to change your website, and I think I want to try to build something on Squarespace.
Oh, good.
It's just fun. You know, it's so easy to do, and I love sort of tinkering. And like you said, with the 2-week free trial, it's awesome because you can just go in and play around with it, and you'll inevitably get hooked on it, I'm sure.
Do you, interesting. So you're on TypePad right now?
WordPress. Yeah.
You move around so much.
No, and I was on Typo for a while, which
Typo,
was just,
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, it was horrible.
Well, you're like me. I've been on probably 7 or 8 platforms total. You move around like I do.
Yeah, I really do. But right now I've got the itch, you know. It's like after a year and a half, I kind of want to move. But.
Well, I know your partner Chris is runs his photo. He's a professional photographer and runs his photo site on Squarespace. So you have some in-house help.
Yeah, definitely. He's great. And I've got a couple of friends hooked on it. My friend Tracy, she's a makeup artist and she's using Squarespace as well. She knows nothing about the internet and she literally has put up this beautiful website on Squarespace. And she learned how to do it all by herself within, you know, less than a week. She is just a huge fan of it.
That's what's really neat. You don't have to be a designer to have a site that really looks super pro. Here's a photography studio, Justin Sonfeld's photography studio in New York City, Brilliant Shadow. There's just so many great ones. Go to the Squarespace examples page just to get an idea of every site looks different. Every site has a unique feel to it. And this is all in Squarespace. It's just so cool. Squarespace.com/night. And I think you're going to be very happy with your new Squarespace site. We thank them for supporting Net at Night. So the Foursquare thing is kind of interesting. I know you didn't hear about this yet. It just broke today. Foursquare is adding the ability to put, you know, Foursquare, we've talked about before, is this location system. This seems to be the winner right now.
Yeah, definitely.
Even with Facebook Places, because like, for instance, I could use Places, but it's iPhone only. I use Foursquare, link it to my Facebook. It's just as good as Places. So I could check people in and all that stuff. So I think Foursquare in the long run even benefits from Facebook's location stuff. They've added the ability for a website or a business to do an add to Foursquare button. I think they've already rolled it out in the Wall Street Journal. So when you're reading a restaurant review, you'll see a button next to it that says add to Foursquare. And then it adds it to like a to-do list on your Foursquare app.
Okay.
And so it makes it so like, don't forget to go there. You could put tips there when you get near that place. Let's say you say, oh, this is a great restaurant in Toronto. I've got to try it. And you'd say, but I'll never remember. So you push the add to Foursquare button. And then when you're driving by or you're in the area, you check into the near that restaurant. You'll say, hey, don't forget you wanted to try this restaurant down the road.
That is
Isn't
very
that interesting.
Cool. Yeah, that's really interesting. I'm just reading a little bit about it now. It sounds like that could be something that kind of could push it, I think, a little more into the mainstream because it's still a very small section of the population that's using Foursquare and location-based services in general.
Well, remember McDonald's did a promotion with Foursquare. And at one point, I don't remember who it was, one of the tech blogs said, you know, McDonald's sees 30% increase in traffic thanks to Foursquare. Not true. Not true. There were 30% more Foursquare check-ins to McDonald's that day. Yeah. It turns out, I've seen the number now, it's something like 2,853 people checked into McDonald's that day. It's tiny, tiny,
it's tiny. It's tiny, tiny, yeah.
But I think that, you know, for Foursquare to succeed, and they certainly got a lot of investors, I have 13,000 followers on Foursquare. So people are paying attention to where I'm going. And I use it to check in. In fact, I got to check in. I forgot to check in today. Because, you know, the mayor of the Twit Cottage is not me.
What?
It's Ken, our VP engineering.
Oh, Leo.
That makes me mad. So I have to remember to check in every day. But I'll never beat him. Sarah Lane checks in every day, too. She's probably going to be the next mayor. Dang. Anyway, but I think the key for Foursquare is getting businesses involved. You know, when I check into my gym now, it says, oh, hi, we got a free three-day pass for your guests if you want, because I checked in.
I agree with you. Yeah. I think it's any type of, I think when any businesses come forward and have any type of discounts or special promotions and they encourage you to check in, I think that's when we'll see people really kind of latch on to the service. Because I know for a fact, if I have friends who say, if they know they're going to get a discount at their favorite store, they're going to start using Foursquare. Trust me.
Yeah. So let me see. Places. Let's see. It's gonna use the GPS as my iPhone for. It says the nearest favorite place. You notice, by the way, the Twit Cottage is a frat.
That's funny.
Actually, it should really be a sorority because there's more women here than there are guys. But these are nearby businesses.
Okay.
So I'll check in here. And it says, okay, so I could do a quick check in or I can write a little message. It says Ken Shepard. Well, maybe I could beat him if I check in right now. Okay, I'm going to check in. We're updating. Let's see. Okay, Ken's 7 days away from becoming the mayor. I've checked in 23 times in the last 2 months, 118 times, and I'm still not the mayor of my own place.
That is wrong, Leo.
It's just wrong.
It's wrong on so many fronts.
Do you see, I think women are probably less likely to use this because of the stalking issue, right?
Oh, yeah. For me, I find I'm just overly cautious because I do travel a lot. And
you're famous. I mean, you know, you're not going to see Lindsay Lohan checking in here either.
Oh, my God, Leo, did you just compare me to Lindsay Lohan in the same sentence?
Well, you're like prettier, but you have the same drug abuse issues. No, kidding. Joke.
My whole career is
joke,
going
joke, joke.
Don't even drink because Leo knows.
You can say that about Amber because she's so obviously like squeaky clean.
Squeaky, of
that
course.
No one would believe that in a million years. So look at the badges I have here. Newbie, Adventure Explorer, Superstar, Bender. That means I went to like more than one bar tonight. Crunked. I don't know what that means. I didn't get that one yet. Local super user. School night means I checked in after 3 a.m. on a weeknight.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. This one is good. I don't know how to get this, but I think Kevin Rose has it. Player, please. Photogenic, gossip girl, gym rat. I check in a lot at the gym. Some of these are kind of funny. I'd like overshare. I got that one for checking in something like more than 12 times in one day.
That's funny.
Get the overshare badge. Swarm is fun. It's more than 50 people checking in at the same time. You can see this is kind of fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely addictive. And what I find, I think you're right. I know fewer women who actually use it than men. I think it's the issue of not wanting people to know exactly when you check in at a certain location. So some women I know, they actually use it where when they're leaving a location, they'll kind of check in at that point just so that they're not exactly telling people where they are at any given time. But it is the issue of just not wanting people to necessarily always know exactly where you are.
We interviewed Naveen, I think, didn't we, from Foursquare a few months ago. We've talked to everybody. We talked
Dennis,
to Gowalla. Dennis, that's right. We talked to the Gowalla people. We're agnostic on this, but I have to say I'm starting to think Foursquare might be slowly pulling ahead here.
I think so too. Because even with places, Leo, like you said, it's only available on the iPhone and it's only in the US right now.
Right.
We don't have it in Canada. And the other issue is there's no sort of social gaming component to places like there is with Foursquare. And I think that's what kind of gives it that edge, you know, getting all of the badges.
Well, you know what the game is with Foursquare? David Prager did this to Kevin Rose. So, Lisa Bettany's at FAO Schwartz. Jeff Nickerson's at Starbucks, Shuby's at Orchard Supply, Scoble's at the Miramar. So, this is Facebook, so let me just check in real quickly. This is why I joined Facebook, by the way, so I could do this.
Yeah.
And now I could say this, and this is the weird thing. So with Facebook, you could say who else is here, and I can look through my friends, and I know that Lisa's here, so I'll add not Bettany, CEO Kensel. Let's see if Ken Shepherdson, is he my friend? Nope, Ken's not my friend. Sarah, that's because he's the mayor. Sarah Lane. So I'm going to check in with these guys. And so you could check in with other people. And so Prager checked into a strip club. Even though Kevin Rose wasn't there, he checked in with him. And Kevin said, ha, very funny, but my family sees this, you doofus.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So I'm just going to say net. So I think Kevin was a little perturbed. But, you know, that is a privacy setting. You can say nobody could check you in without your permission.
Yeah, I think that's probably a good setting to enable. Yeah. I mean, the last thing you want is for other people checking you into different locations. Imagine the marital problems that could cause.
Right. So, yeah. Okay. So I know exactly.
It's a bit of an issue.
Hey, dude. So there you go. Now I am checked in at the Twit Cottage with all my friends. I don't know. I think it's just a very few people who actually do this silliness.
I love how you put it down in embarrassment. Like, I would never waste my time on this. And literally, you just got, like, caught up in it.
I did. I just spent 10 minutes on something nobody cares about. Thank you very much.
That's what Net at Night's all about, Leo.
Okay. We did Stylebot. We did... let's save the... Well, we can do the site of the night and then do
it's
Rick Calvert.
Really, it's
all right.
Really
what
quick
is
one.
The site of the night?
I just stumbled across this on Waxy Links, and we both love that website. Lots of random stuff there. And I found this cool little link to a site called Starring the Computer. If you go to the link I sent that says features at the end of it, it's kind of a neat site. It's almost like IMDb, but for a computer.
Oh, cool.
This is such a nerdy reaction, but it is.
Oh, that's great. You know, we've spent a lot of time talking about, you know, our favorite movies and what movies portrayed well, computers well, and so forth. So this is what this is the one you sent me. The features, are these like the most popular ones or just
just a list of movies? I don't know. I mean, they obviously don't have every movie, but they go through the, it's in alphabetical order, so you can see Austin Powers in Goldmember, the 2002 movie, had it featured an Apple PowerBook G4.
Oh, this is good. In the year 2010, we'll all be using Apple IIc computers.
Oh, that's
at the beach. That's Haywood Floyd in 2010, the year we made contact. I love it. This is fun, 8-way.
Yeah, and it includes TV shows as well. So if you were a fan of The Knight Rider or Magnum PI, it also includes computers from those early times in the 1980s.
Look, here's Alf using an Amiga.
You know,
nothing dates you faster. Just a tip for movie makers. Nothing dates you faster than putting technology in your movie.
It's very true.
I mean, Alf is timeless. Everybody would agree.
Well, look at Gordon Gekko in that Wall Street movie. He's still infamous for the giant brick phone, right?
I can't love get that
image out of my head.
I love that. I watched that the other night and I was saying, Gordon, you know, greed is good, but a new phone would be better.
It's so true. Anyway, a fun little site. So it's called starringthecomputer.com. If you're bored at work, it's a good one to check out.
Starring the Computer.
Mm-hmm.
Net at Night starring Amber MacArthur and our guest. We're going to get Rick on the line right now. Rick Calvert is the guy who started Blog World, merged it with New Media Expo not so long ago, and now has kind of the lock on emerging media conferences in the U.S. anyway. Blog World is coming up in Las Vegas very soon. Let's see if we can get Rick on the line right now and talk to him on Net at Night. I'm stalling as Skype makes the call.
Leo, we had a fun time at the New Media Expo a couple of years ago.
That's right. You were pregnant, but you didn't tell me.
Yeah, I did not tell you. That was really early.
You know, I was thinking, boy, I can't say what I was thinking.
I know what you were thinking. I think you told me that already.
You know what I was thinking. And I did. But see, I'm a guy, so I'm just clueless. So just think, well, Amber's figure is sure filling out there.
Changing, yes.
And I would never say, are you pregnant? I wouldn't even think of that.
No.
So, but then when you told me later, I said, oh.
Oh, that makes sense.
Ooh.
Yeah. Those were the early days. And I remember, Leo, because we were live streaming for hours and hours, and I couldn't even go to the bathroom. And being a newly pregnant woman, it's torturous.
I'm so sorry. And, of course, Connor's now with us, so there's no secret anymore. No, that was fun. I've been to, I think, every podcast expo since the first of them. Blog World was something new for me and never had experienced it before. Rick invited me a couple of years ago, and I really enjoyed it, and I'm thrilled that they're together. This will be the second year you're together. Is that right, Rick?
That is correct, Leo.
Welcome to Net at Night. It's great to see you.
Hey, thanks for coming on the show, Rick.
Hi, Amber.
Cool.
So go ahead.
I'm curious about just the origins of the conference, because, I mean, I've been familiar with it for a couple of years, but when did it actually start? It's probably even older than I imagine.
So we announced it in 2006. That's when we first had the idea, but the first show happened in 2007.
So it's pretty new. It's 3 years old.
Pretty new. Yeah, this will be the fourth year of the show, and you're right, the second year that's been together with, and I heard you talking earlier about New Media Expo, and I know you were trying to remember the name. What made it even more confusing is Tim changed the name every year, all 4 years
right.
of the show.
Yeah, you can see why they needed you, Rick. I mean, I love Tim. I love the brothers, the Borkin brother, but they needed to. So Blog World is great branding. We understand that.
Yep. Yeah. I have to ask you guys something first, because I was watching the show before I came on. You guys, Leo, you mentioned Alf was timeless.
Yeah.
Have you guys ever seen the Alf cartoons?
No.
I have.
They're amazing, aren't they?
From where?
It was a Saturday morning show. It was the Alf cartoon.
Was that was after the live action show?
I think it was at the end, during the end of the show. Maybe the last season is when the cartoon started, or maybe the season after. But they're like old Bugs Bunny cartoons. They're cartoons for adults. They're hilarious.
Yeah, they're definitely a
lot
of fun.
So when is Blog World this year, Rick?
October 14, 15, and 16.
And I'm just looking at the schedule, and this is one thing that I remember from the New Media Expo, is there's just so much happening, and also obviously so much demand for in terms of people going there. Like how, you know, as far as to kind of sum up the conference, what is it about? Because it's grown so much. I mean, you say Blog World and people think, okay, it's all about blogging, but it is so much more now.
Yeah. We've actually talked about changing the name from Blog World because when we started... Most people didn't know what a blog was. But it's about anything new media or social media or social networking related. Blogging, podcasting, internet radio, internet TV, social networking. And that gets to be kind of a mouthful saying that over and over again. But if you're a content creator looking to create, distribute, or monetize content, then that's what the show's for.
You know what? The world's largest social media conference. I guess social media is kind of a safe phrase these days, right? Although blogs don't have to be social. I think they mostly are.
Yeah, actually, I like the word new media better than social media, but I think I've lost that argument for the moment.
So.
I think so. Just based on, I think, you know, it's not new anymore. So I think people are kind of prefer the term social media in a lot of cases. But so this year, what can people expect that is maybe different than previous years?
Well, one of the things you guys were just talking about, location-based services. I know that's going to be a topic this year. I'm not sold on those yet either, but it took me a year to figure out Twitter, so...
I can pretty much guarantee there'll be a swarm of Foursquare users at Blog World this year.
Yeah. So that will be a big thing. And, you know, interestingly enough, Twitter for a couple of years has been the shiny new toy, and Facebook I would put in that category too. But it's amazing if there's ever a survey of businesses, they ask them, you know, what's going to be your core social media strategy this year? Or what are you going to use in social media? It's always blogging. And so I think there are a lot of companies who maybe came a little bit later to social media, who started on Twitter or started on Facebook, who are now saying, wait a minute, I think we need a blog.
Well, it's funny because I came to that conclusion just a few weeks ago. Remember when I had that problem with Google Buzz? I realized I've been kind of shouting into the wilderness. Stuff just goes away when you tweet it or you buzz it or you jaiku it or you pounce it or whatever it is that, you know, you're doing. Exactly. So I realized that it really all should start at the blog. The blog is the permanent thing, the thing you own, your space on the internet. And even if you have a Facebook page, you got to have your own blog, your own page. The word blog might be a little dated.
And, you know, call it your own website, really, is
it's
all it
website.
Is.
It's a website. Exactly. Yeah. Yep.
Go ahead, Rick.
Well, I was going to say, so, Leo, you know, you started, and Amber, you too, on the podcasting side. And it's interesting how, you know, the technology's not quite ready yet where people can search audio and video content effectively enough yet. So even if you're primarily a video or audio producer, you need to have that blog-based entity as well as kind of a sister site so people can find your content.
Well, you might remember when I spoke at Blog World 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago, that was the message was don't just do one medium. The more you can do audio, video, text, you know, bloggers should have audio and video podcasters should have text as well. In fact, it's one... I've been blogging since 2001, but it's one of the things I've really fallen down with on our network, and something we really hope to do more of is get that text side more robust. Yep. It's so important.
So one of the reasons I think people end up going to conferences like this is not just to kind of hang out and see the different conversations or take part in the different discussions that are happening, but it's really about who is speaking at the events. Are there some highlights that you can tell us about for this year?
There are so many. So we have over 300 speakers. So, and you know, when you think about, you know, what is this thing? And I'm not sure, Amber, if you go to NAB, but Leo, I know you do, and I know you go to CES. When you think about how big this space is that we're working on, it encompasses so much that we really, 300 speakers is not even enough. So to answer your question, a guy named Scott Stratton from Unmarketing is giving an opening keynote. Brian Solis, who's a really smart guy, is giving a keynote. Dick Glover from Funny or Die, the CEO of Funny or Die. And your friend Jim Lauterbach from Revision 3 is giving a keynote. We have a guy named Rob Barnett who's going to host our closing keynote talk show this year. And also Callie Lewis will be one of our keynote speakers this year. So that's a few of them.
Wow. I'm looking. You do have a great page on the site called Make My Schedule. This is a really clever idea, but it gives you a sense. So you go to the on Thursday, you go to the 8:30 a.m. keynote, then the 9:45 sessions. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, like 11 things to choose from. Then at 11 o'clock, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. It's the same thing. I mean, so it's actually good you have this page because you can check what you want. You can read it on the page. It's really actually... This is clever. I like how this is done. And then put together your own schedule. I wish all conferences would do this.
That app, Leo, is called Skedge.org.
I love that.
Oh, cool.
And these guys built Skedge by themselves to organize their own South by Southwest schedule a couple years ago.
Perfect.
And then so many people liked it. They said, hey, can you do that for our conference? And so they turned it into a business.
Yeah, good bit. Very smart.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Now, what do you, we kind of touched on this, but what do you think is going to be the big topic of conversation this year? You know, you mentioned Twitter has kind of been the hot toy in the past, but are there a couple other things that you think will be sort of on the radar of most people who are attending the event?
Well, so the thing that's always the number one topic every year is monetization. How do we monetize our content? And again, I know that was a conversation at Podcast Expo every year. First, it was the first year was, oh, we're all so happy to be here. The second year was, okay, now how do we make money?
Right.
And then the third year was, why aren't we making money? And we're just getting to that part where a significant group of people can make money. And I've been on this soapbox from our first show that this is still the beginning of where our medium is going. And I just think we haven't even touched the surface of where we're going to be and the amount of people who are going to be able to do this for a living, whatever that content may be. So monetization will be the number one topic. It is every year.
And speaking of monetization, if I look at who your sponsors are, it's changed a lot in the last 4 years. I mean, you've got Ford, Kodak, Southwest Airlines, Sony, Pepsi, the U.S. Army, Johnson & Johnson. Obviously, big brands have started to realize, hey, it may be new media, but it's not a toy.
Yeah, and I honestly think some of those brands, I don't think they'll be there forever as our industry matures. Again, I think our industry is so in its infancy still, that those brands are there to prove that they're on the cutting edge of marketing and communications, right? But they're not really new media companies. And so we are very mindful. If you look at our exhibit floor, it's more companies like Squarespace and Legit and TechSmith and Technorati. I mean, we purposely make sure that those are the most of the companies that you see. And when it is a brand like Ford, they do have something related like their Sync product, which I'm blown away by.
Yeah, we're big, as you know, I'm sure, Ford fans here. And Ford is a really good example of a very old line, mainline industrial, U.S. industrial company that really gets it. I mean, they've got Scott Monty, whose sole job is social media for
Ford.
He's
amazing.
Yeah, I mean, they understand. I don't think they're in it because it's the hot new thing. I think they realize that that's the future of marketing for a company like them. I agree with you, Rick, that most of these guys will kind of move on to whatever the next hot thing is. But some companies will understand the real and lasting value that this poses for them. At least I hope so.
Yeah.
I pray.
I think they'll always be there as sponsors, right? Because,
that's where the eyeballs are going to be. That's where the people are.
Exactly. So and that's where the marketing's more effective, right? So do you really want to market to people who are specifically interested in what you're talking about?
Right.
Or do you want to do that old shotgun blast commercial at the Super Bowl?
Right. You're absolutely right on that regard. Yeah.
So, Rick, just before we go, just curious, is this something that you work on full time? Is it a year-round thing for you?
It is something that I work on full time myself, my partner Dave, and we have about 7 people who work on the show full time now.
Wow.
We have another dozen people that we do project work with. When I started, again, I just wanted to go to it, and it didn't exist, so I didn't know how many people would come and whether it would be a
Were you a blogger, Rick? Gig. Was
yeah.
Oh, interesting. So you did this for yourself.
Yeah. My job for the last 10 years has been producing trade shows. Mm-hmm. But my hobby, I started in 2005. I started a political blog called The Real Ugly American. I like to argue about politics. I think that's fun.
Yeah, I agree. And, I just don't do it in public anymore.
Right. Well, me neither now that we started the show. But I would have started a blog in 2001 like you, Leo, but I'm not a tech guy like you are.
Right.
And I didn't know it was that easy. I was stunned that it only took 5 minutes to start blogging.
Right. And well, it didn't in 2001. It was very painful. It's gotten so much easier now, I have to say. Blog yeah. World's coming up October 14th, 15th, and 16th. Go to blogworldexpo.com to find out more. And Rick has very kindly offered us a Net at Night discount for Blog World. You get 20% off full access weekend or Thursday only passes. The code is TWITTV20. That's TWITTV20. And you'll need to use that code. Well, I guess it says it expires October 17th, but so does Blog World. So, and it's only for the first 200 users, right, Rick?
That's correct.
So probably by the time you hear this after the fact, I think the live people are going to use this one up right away. Blogworldexpo.com. If you're watching live, go there right now. Sign up. TWITTV20 is the code. First 200 people get 20% off their passes to Blog World Expo. Rick, thank you so much for that.
Thank you, Leo.
Thank you,
Amber.
Thank you so much. Yeah, thanks for joining us, and good luck with everything.
Have a great show. That's going to be great. I can't wait. So I think Tom Merritt's, we're talking right now. I think Tom Merritt, who's going, almost all my staff is going. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to be able to for scheduling reasons, unfortunately, but most of them are going. And I think we're talking about Tom doing Tech News Today from the show floor on Friday.
Oh,
so we'll keep you up to date on that.
Very cool.
Yeah.
All right, Leo. So I just have one other link, which is our video of the night.
I love the video of the night.
This is a fun one. And this is actually from Eileen. She had sent it my way, so I made sure it was on my radar. It is a new OK Go video. We've had those guys on the show. And they're the treadmill guys, if anyone needs a reminder.
They did that great. This must pass, where it was the Rube Goldberg machine. So they have a new one.
Yeah, they have a new one. It's called White Knuckles. And just in a couple of days since it's been released on YouTube, it now has more than 1 million views.
Oh, that's
so it's becoming
so great.
Popular. It features lots of cute dogs, and it's just a fun song, like all of their stuff.
We love them so much, and they're really they've proven, which I really like, that you don't have to have a record label. You just have to be good, creative, use what's out there like YouTube effectively. They got rid of their record label EMI because EMI wouldn't let them do what they wanted to do, and they're doing great, obviously, still. I think that's a great moral. Amber, thank you so much. You catch Amber MacArthur on her TV show Web Nation, which is on CTV in Canada. By the way, Netflix comes to Canada tomorrow.
I know. Super excited about that.
Yay!
I'm going to try it out, actually. I've got to get that up and running. So.
I don't know how you live without Netflix. I can't even imagine life without Netflix.
There's a lot of things we don't have, Leo. Even get started.
We don't have Anne Murray anymore, so it's fair.
But if you come on George's show, then that's a step in the right direction.
The folks at the hour, which is now a half hour, so I guess it's not the hour anymore. George Strombo's show, they call him. George Strombopoulos did ask me if I'd be on the show. Now, I haven't heard back from him, but if you're listening in Canada, yes, I like it. And we'll get Strombo on our show, I hope.
Okay, perfect.
You should also read Amber's blog at ambermack.com. And don't forget her new book, Power Friending, available in bookstores everywhere. I know anybody who listens to this show knows all about this stuff, but if you have friends who are saying, what is this social media? How can I use it in my business? How can I use it to create a brand? How can I use it to help me make friends, meet people, learn things? This is the book for you, Power Friending by Amber MacArthur. Amber, thanks so much.
Thanks, Leo, and I'll talk to you soon.
And we'll see you next time on Net at Night. Hit it, boys.
let me get your paw print out of the henhouse now, and you can't go back the same way you came. Round all the pieces up, but they just don't fit the same. White knuckles. Maybe it's not so bad, so let your head down now. White knuckles. Yeah, maybe it's not so bad. I'll go ahead and let it down.
Those are some good dogs. That's pretty amazing. Okay, go.